Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also work to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the morning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a Feather Snap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations, so if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you, and we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com.
Do you think everybody has a relationship with the front seat car game, also known as shotgun?
Probably.
What do you think everybody's really... Do you think everybody has a hot or cold relationship with it, or do you think people generally win 50-50?
When you say hot or cold, hot meaning you win more than 50?
Yeah, hot meaning like you love the game of shotgun because you always remember and nobody else does, and so you always win.
Oh, I see.
And then cold would be like, ugh, I never think of this game, and that means I always sit in the back, and so it's always kind of frustrating.
No, because if you never think of it, then you don't really care that much.
But maybe you do care, but you don't care about the game.
But if you care, then you have to care about the game.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that logic is sound.
That is an unfortunate person then who really wants to sit in the front seat but constantly loses the game.
Yeah. Because I think they're two different things. I mean, you could want to sit in the front seat and not have to deal with the game.
Well, you could want that, but that's just being ignorant at some point if the game is present.
So that means that if you're ignoring the rules of the game, then or if you're unwilling to play the rules of the game, then you don't deserve to win.
Oh. If you're unwilling... Sorry, say that again.
Okay, so if you're unwilling to engage in the game,
yeah,
then you don't deserve to win the game.
Yeah, correct.
Then you don't deserve the outcome that the game provides.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you subscribe to, you got to play the game.
You gotta play the game. Yes, shock. It's like it is perhaps unfortunate, and sometimes it can be annoying, especially like if like you are clearly what feels like up the social hierarchy than the person who's beating you at the game or something.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, I'm sure it was probably frustrating, like, for you if like I was driving and then like John or Mike like got the front seat instead of you.
Oh, because it was like my brother's car.
Yeah, it's my brother's car. Like, I sit here every morning and like
it's kind of my seat, you know.
Like, this is my seat.
Yeah.
Or I imagine like if it was just between me and you and Tyler, and like Tyler was really good at calling shotgun and like always got to sit in the front seat, that would like bother me to no end.
That would bother you?
That would have bothered me, yes.
Like, wait, do you mean it would bother you as the driver?
No. Or if mom was driving and me and you and Tyler were playing.
Yes.
Yes.
And it meant that I never got to win because my younger brother was always beating me
right
to the punch.
It would be like, why? It's like, Tyler doesn't like, I'm the oldest brother, so I get to sit in the front. This game makes no difference. That's where I would feel like it felt unfair, because it was encroaching on a different kind of hierarchy.
I'm supposed to be able to sit up there because
exactly.
I'm the oldest.
Shotgun is for people who have no hierarchy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So amongst friends, shotgun's great.
Right. You can't like play shotgun like, you know, Like if mom and dad are driving on a road trip, you can't just like call shotgun and send mom to the back seat, you know?
Oh yeah, that's true.
That's never gonna work.
It's right, like mom's like, nope, sorry, overruled.
Amongst friends, shotgun is open, it's open season.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
But like if there's an existing like familial hierarchy or something, then it's like, then that's where you get into trouble.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay. So do you have a hot or cold relationship with the game of shotgun?
I would say mostly, I would say it's like 50-50. I don't know. I am never playing anymore, but I don't remember it being like that annoying either.
Okay, so like if somebody like, you know, like beat you to the shotgun, you were just kind of like, nah, whatever.
Yeah, kind of like whatever. Or so often, like it would have just been between you and me and Mike and John, and like either I was driving, so it wasn't a problem, or more often than like a large majority of the time, there were two drivers, so if someone got like in the front, there was no way to not to be in the front seat.
Cause you were just going to
be in the other car.
Right. Yeah. And like, John never wanted to drive.
Right. Or if John was driving, you had to participate in some other inane, stupid driving game.
The hot game.
Like, yes. Like heat wave.
Yeah. Heat wave. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get in the car. Yeah. Didn't matter if it was 100 degrees outside. You turn the heat all the way up.
Yeah, turn it all the way up. The first person to complain loses.
And
God knows none of us were about to lose something as stupid as heat wave.
No way.
No way.
We will all sit in discomfort.
Exactly.
And be happy about it.
That is right.
Anyway.
So, yeah. I wouldn't say it was like a huge deal. I had a more annoying relationship. This is in the same vein as shotgun, but the game Fives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like when you like
stand up from your chair.
You had to like call Fives to like secure your spot on the couch or something.
For 5 minutes.
That's right. What you're saying. Like, I'm standing up. No one can take my spot for 5 minutes. These are the rules of the game. Because like, to me, like if you're sitting there, like that's just your spot, you know, like there shouldn't be like you shouldn't have to say Fives to secure the spot, or like you shouldn't have to worry about it at all. Like, because the way that game worked is like if you stood up and didn't say Fives, someone could like immediately sit down and be like, you didn't say Fives. And you're like, yeah, but that's my spot. Like, you know,
but that's my spot.
That's my spot.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this, it does feel like the type of game that exists largely within high schools and among siblinghood, where it's kind of like, it's like chances are the game of Fives is important because there isn't satisfactory seating for everybody.
Yeah.
And therefore you are currently the possessor of a glorious spot for your butt.
Yeah.
And somebody else is like, yo, if you're not sitting there, I'm going to sit there because that's a great place to sit.
Right.
And I will. On it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, I'll respect the game of Fives, of course, because I mean, you know, it's like the law of the land.
I mean, it makes sense because you could say like, be right back. But then if you're gone for like 15 minutes and someone's sitting on like a bar stool in the back, like they're probably upset about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that as well. But like, if it's understood that like you're just going to the bathroom or something, like you shouldn't have to like defend your spot while you're not there.
Sure.
Your spot is your spot.
Your spot is your spot.
Spot is your spot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, which is why there's a way to defend it.
I know, but like Fives, I don't feel like was nearly as widespread as like shotgun, you know? So like you could be like your regular group of friends might be like cool and not play Fives, but then you could be in a new group of friends, a new group of people, and they're like, they're really into it. And like the moment you sit up, they like squeak in and you're just like, what are you doing, bro? And they're like, you didn't call Fives. And it's like, well, I didn't know you were that kind of people.
So did it leave you with this kind of sensation?
For their personality, yes.
I had to have a way to end our cold open. And I found the buttons on the our recording device that are apparently preloaded with sound effects, of which I do not know how they are correlated.
Yeah. Game of Fives. Yeah, Game of Fives, less widespread than shotgun. Punch Bug, you're always playing. Exactly.
People get it. The people get it.
They get it.
Yeah. All right, should we roll the intro?
Yeah.
What? What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I feel like I'm really in this episode.
You're really in it.
I'm really in it because, Ben, for the first time since we've been doing this show, some 200 some odd episodes in,
yeah,
my microphone is not blocking my face.
Hey!
I know.
You're in it to win it.
I'm in it to win it.
On a primarily audio-based podcast.
But for the few people who watch and are always like, man, it's so like, this would be great if I could see Jay's face. Now you can.
Yeah.
Because for a long story long, we once upon a time, you and I were at a silent auction.
Were we?
Yeah, we were at a silent auction.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So once upon a time, we were at a silent auction. Yeah.
And there was a coffee table at that auction. And we were like, may as well throw 40 bucks at this.
May as well. Yeah. It's easily worth 40.
It's easily, I'd bid 40 bucks on that. And I think ultimately it was a fairly popular item. We bid it up and ultimately we won.
We did.
And the problem was that even though we won, we did not live together.
Yes.
Right. So I think we had a coin flip to determine where the coffee table would live.
Yes. And for what it's worth, it's a really cool, it's like one of these like slab coffee tables that like a local artisan built.
Yeah.
So it's got like the surface of it is like an irregular shape of wood with like a little like bow ties inset, like where there are like cracks to like prevent it from like cracking further and such. Mm-hmm. It's honestly like a gorgeous piece of furniture.
Yeah. Really cool. That's why we wanted to get it. And why we ultimately won. And then we had a coin flip, which I won the coin flip.
You did.
Which was a great feeling in the moment. That was one of those, we've talked before about how like, can you manifest things or whatever? I was like, I knew I was winning that coin flip.
I was like 1,000%. It's like, there's no problem. I could choose heads or tails.
I could choose heads or tails. I knew I was going to win that coin flip and I did.
Yeah.
Which of course, it feels like, well, maybe Joe, you had a 50-50 chance. Don't worry. I had it.
You had it the whole time. Yeah.
I had that thing the whole time. But then it didn't matter because Beth did not like the coffee table.
Oh man.
So she didn't want it. So even though I won the coin flip, Beth didn't want the coffee table. So you got the coffee table at your house.
Which, I wouldn't say like, to be fair, because the fair thing was that you got to keep it. I do think that it fit the aesthetic of my home, especially at that point in time where I was like, kind of sort of like in bachelor life where, had like leather couch and like a dark red oriental rug and
it absolutely fit better in your house. I don't think it would have served my home decor as well, although I think I would have liked my home decor to have been more of that style. It's okay, it's all right, it wasn't a big deal. But fast forward a few bits, you outgrew the coffee table and it landed here on the set.
It did indeed.
It did, which feels like it's like the perfect resting place for it because like now it's at no one's house and we both get to use it and it's here. This is the one in front of us and it is so, I love it. It's so cool looking and great coffee table. However, the microphones we attach to it, we have these little clamps and on your side, there is ample lip for the clamp to latch onto.
Yeah.
Yes. And in such a spot that the microphone would not block your face. It comes in at enough of an angle that you're good. The only spot on this side of the table where I could put a microphone without it either unclamping itself or tipping the whole table over meant that from the camera's point of view, microphone directly in my face.
Man.
No way around it. Super annoying. And it's been one of those things that I'm like, I'm just going to fidget with it enough one day and I'm going to figure this out. And I just never, and every time I would do it, I'd run into the exact same problems and then I'd forget and I'd be like, maybe this time I'll find a new way, and I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I was just like it's not a huge deal, but finally on this last Prime Day, we just ordered another microphone stand to sit right there.
Bam.
Bam. And what's been extra frustrating is that since we started this podcast, we started another podcast.
We did. Yeah. Through the Gryffindor.
Called Through the Gryffindor, where we got new mic stands for it because we were doing it. But when we did that, we didn't get one for here.
Yes.
Yep. So like we got a thing to solve this, and finally it's just like what a relief. It's like a thorn in your side. It's like, this isn't like a huge problem, but like every single week it's been a little bit annoying, and now
Now you feel solved. Better. I wonder if it was like subconsciously your mustache that did it. It was like, you know what? People need to be seeing this, and like too much of my face is being blocked.
I know.
By my mic stand. So right? It's like, I can't. Enough is enough. Finally.
Enough is enough. And now you can see it. So.
And you look great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you're you. Welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. Okay. So shall we dive on into today's various subjects and things?
Subjects and things and stuff. Let's go.
Okay. Let's see what we've got here on the list. Your kids spent the night away over this past weekend.
They sure did. So we've been in the summer for my family has been like crazy. We've been doing all sorts of stuff. Like, you know, we've been traveling. Luke's had a couple of camps he's been at. There has been like rarely more than like a 5-day stretch of time where like some sort of activity hasn't been like planned or happening.
Like kind of breaking up the monotony.
The monotony. Yes, exactly.
Are you guys starting to like get a grasp on like summer break growing up is the best?
Oh,
because it just means you're home. Yes. No responsibilities, no school, no anything. For the parents, it's almost like now my kids are home all throughout the day.
That is exactly the issue. Yeah. Is that like, so like because I remember summer break being like, I basically had like no responsibilities, you know, just wake up, do whatever you want. End of day, rinse, repeat for 3 months. It was great, you know?
Dude, but honestly, I never remembered summer break feeling that way because it was always like by the time I was in eighth grade, I was doing, you know, like the cross country team or whatever with you. And it was sort of like our coach was just like, okay, so class is out for the end of the school year on, you know, June 7th. On June 9th, summer runs begin. And they're at 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
Enjoy getting up every day.
Yes.
All summer.
Yes. I do remember like around high school time that did start making a difference. But like elementary school, like middle school time, good times.
A bit more glorious.
Didn't have any running obligations during those times.
The things I always come back to then were summer reading.
Yeah.
You know, like so like and realistically, when I look back on it now, I'm like, it really wasn't that much that they had us do. You had to read like two books.
It was
like
the injustice of having homework over the summer.
It was the injustice that of having was it homework more than over anything. The summer. Yeah. It was just like it's like when am I supposed to break up having fun in order to go do this? And in the meantime, I'm just dreading it the entire summer.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, that's what would happen to me. And then it'd be like the week before, and like my last week of summer, I would just spend sitting in my room reading books.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember like I would have to do it, and like friends would be at the door and it'd be like, I can't come down. I have to do like summer reading. They'd be like, well, are you done yet? And it'd be like, no.
So I got to read like 275 pages.
I know. Not even close.
Yeah.
And this wasn't like, I mean, maybe, I don't, this wasn't like, I, it never occurred to me just like go get the Cliff Notes or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. Me neither. That was, I think that we've got a couple people here in office, Ethan and Isabel, who both like have discussed their ability to like get by on like a book club without having like read the book.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, I don't possess that. I don't have it in me. Yeah.
Like I would have read the book, and there'd be like just days in class where it'd be like, today we're just going to do like a class discussion about chapter 4 of whatever. And it'd be like, people be talking the whole time. And I'm like, I read this and like, I do not feel like I can even contribute to the discussion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah.
Right.
It was the same way.
Mm. So, all right. Well, at least we're on the same page. Well,
at least we're on the same page. Anyway, so it's summer break for you guys.
Summer break for us. And yes. So, unlike the, it has felt like we've had enough to do all the time that there's been like a break. But for the past 2 weeks, we sort of reached like a long stretch of time where like nothing's really been going on.
Right.
Which is, you know, for me, like I still go to work and come home and it feels like pretty normal to me. But like for Beth, this has been a really long stretch of time where it has been like up in like the high 90s. Every
very
single
hot.
Day, very hot, like very hard to even just go outside, like, you know, at all. I can't even like send people outside because it's just it is like prohibitively hot out there.
Yeah.
You know, like there, I guess you could get like we are like members at a pool and they've done that a bunch. But even that is like it's still like we're very close to the pool being the answer to like a ton of things. But at the moment, like they can't quite not have their life jackets on.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like if they can't go into the deep end yet. They can't jump off the diving board. So like either they're in their life jackets in the pool, which they don't like, or they're not in their life jacket, which means Beth has to be in the pool, which is just more work for her.
Right. Yeah.
You know, she can't just be like, all right, we're at the pool. You guys have fun. I'll be here reading my book. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like lounging on the
right,
sun.
Lounging.
The sun chair.
It's not relaxing for her just yet. Just yet. So we had like a 14 day period there where it was just like, I think for Beth, a very long 14 days with the kids at the house and the heat and the cabin fever kind of setting in there. But I called our mom and I was like, I think Beth could maybe use a break. Is there any chance like the kids could just spend the night at your house? And she was like, very absolutely. Of course they could do it. And we realized that like, even though Luke is 6 years old, this has never happened. Like they have never spent the night at Nana's house.
That is unbelievable.
I know it was. I was like, well, goodness me, how is this the case? How have we never done this? But so they were extremely excited about it. And mom came and picked them up. She took them to the trampoline park. They went out and got Happy Meal toys, you know, great night at Nana's, you know.
just good times to be had. Yeah,
they just had a blast. And then so that was great. We had a night off ourselves. We went to a new brewery in town.
Okay.
Which they only do like Belgian wheat kind of, or like European Hefeweizen stuff. So that was, which is like the kind of beer I particularly like.
I was going to say, like, that's your wheelhouse.
This is my wheelhouse. I was like, we got to go. So that was super fun. We did that. We brought a game called Regicide, which I guess you can just play with a regular deck of cards. But this is like very helpful because all the pictures help you remember everything.
All the rules and
all
such.
All the rules and such. So that was very
you guys
fun.
Were at the brewery playing the game.
Playing the game.
That's fun. Just with each other? Just you two?
Just us. Yep. Just the two of us. And it's like a cooperative game. So you're like trying to, you know, win together, which made it fun too, which we did. We won. We figured it out.
I figured you did. Yeah.
That was good. Took us a few games. It was like hard at first. We're like, what are we supposed to do? This is impossible.
It's funny that you said that because I was like, Jay, obviously you guys won. Like, they were like, it's like when you told me you were playing a cooperative game together, I'm like, zero part of me is like, oh, I wonder if they were able to complete it.
Yeah. Well, I was like, it felt like maybe a little bit at the whim of your like the deck and stuff, but like by the third round, we sort of had more of the hang of it. So that was good. But like, you could easily lose.
Okay.
Like the deck can defeat you pretty quickly. Either way, and then we went to our new favorite restaurant in town called Bloom. So if you're ever visiting the area, that's where I would recommend go there. You may have heard us talk in the past about a place called Local Roots. It's gone.
It just disappeared.
It is out. It is, which is not surprising because whilst it was amazing in its heyday, it had gone way downhill.
Yeah, I think it got sold and then like the new people.
People. They didn't
sometimes
get
that
it.
Happens.
It happens. Very sad, but it's gone. So Bloom, which I will say, better than Local Roots ever was, even in its prime.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Shots fired. Shots fired indeed. Yeah. You know, this reminds me of just like a very small anecdote, but I do remember back in the day when the year 2008, there was the obviously like giant recession that hit, you know, the United States of America / the planet due to the housing crisis. And during that period of time, our family thought it would be a smashing good idea to go and purchase an aquarium store, which we did. And it's the same aquarium business that we still own to this day. So that's all pretty cool. But I was still a senior in high school as this was unfolding. And I remember the guy who had previously owned the store that we purchased was sort of like the who's who in our local like reef club, which is like people who get together to like discuss like corals and stuff like that. And he built like handmade 700 gallon aquariums out of acrylic, and it was this huge gorgeous display, and he basically had corals like growing out of the water like they were like weeds in your garden and such like that. And as all of that like is happening, his wife like was like a higher up at like a Fortune 500 company, and they got moved like across the country, so they had to sell the business, and then we took over. And I'm like, when I think back on it, I'm like, were we the people that took over Local Roots? Like, everybody was sort of like, well, you know, the original guy was really good.
But it's still there.
It is still there. Yeah. So actually to this day, if you come to like the Roanoke area, you can go and visit Ultimate Aquariums.
Have you gone back?
I have not gone back since it's
at all.
What? Not one single time.
Oh my gosh.
I've driven past it a few times. And like when I do, I look out the window, I'm like, like it gives me like weird feelings, you know,
it's like good or bad feelings.
I don't even know. like a combination of feelings.
Yeah.
It's something that I think
you feel a certain type of way.
It makes me feel a certain type of way. There's no doubt in the world that on this show, you've heard us talk about the Dunning-Kruger effect,
yeah,
which is basically like having a small amount of experience with a given task, but then having like a very high amount of like confidence. And usually what happens is Dunning-Kruger is replaced eventually with imposter syndrome, which is having a huge amount of experience, but a very low amount of confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that I was more on the front half of that equation when I was 18 and doing this business, because I think I was like, I know more about aquariums than anybody else who works at my Petland. And in my head, I was like, that makes me like a superstar.
Basically.
You know, like I know my stuff. And then I like entered this new frontier of like aquarium keeping. And it was like, there is a lot of stuff I don't know. And yeah, it's a very deep field. And it was kind of, but I think at the time I was like, no, I know my stuff. Like there's nobody, there's like, it's like that Ron Swanson moment where he's like at Home Depot and Parks and Rec and somebody walks up to him and he's like, can I help you with anything? And he's like, I know more than you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like I was that person a la aquarium stories.
Right.
And so I think the feelings that I experience now, whenever we drive past it, are probably some version of like, you thought you knew everything. And like, I think that feeling is the feeling that probably bothers me. So no massive negative experiences attached to being there, more just like the self-reflection and like looking back on this former version
of
myself.
It's like delayed onset embarrassment or something.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, you know, it would be somebody coming in and like presenting with this air as if I was like, so qualified. And I'm like, I wonder what the adults who were talking to me thought of this like kid.
Yeah. Cause like realistically, you probably did know more about like aquariums than like 98% of people in Roanoke.
Oh, certainly.
You know,
yes, because I think that's a fairly,
yeah, it's a low bar.
It's a low bar.
Right. Yeah. Like the issue then as ever becomes that like, that even though that's true, it's only those other 2% that are shopping at the store, because no one else cares about aquariums.
Precisely. And yeah, and I would say the people who were shopping at the store that owned it before us were in like the top 0.5, if not the top 0.1%.
Right.
Like they were like the advanced hobbyists who had like, you know, like at that point in time, to me, spending hundreds of dollars on your hobby was being like massively committed, which is not to say that that's not still true. But
right,
what I witnessed as time went on was that people were spending like, you know, you could buy a car with the amount that people had like invested in these systems. Like they were, this was not just like I have a fish tank in my house. This is like, I have a marine ecosystem.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's evolved. Yeah. So to those people, they were probably like, yeah, Young Guns over there, he doesn't know quite what's going on.
Nah, but they kept coming back.
They did. Right? Yeah. For the most part.
I mean, if you had like returning customers, then they either trusted you enough to listen to your advice or just, you know, appreciated your inventory.
There you go.
So
We'll count it. Anyway, so long story long, we're back to you now though, because you were discussing the weekend away. You went to Bloom.
Yeah, we went to Bloom. That was fantastic.
Better than Local Roots ever was.
Better than Local Roots ever was. That's right. Actually, it was very funny. Not super funny, but like we'd been there a few times, and then I saw in the Roanoke magazine that I remember reading like there was like a 30 under 30 or 40 under 40 or something like that.
Okay.
And I remember seeing one of the people and it was like, hey, I went to seventh grade with this person. And I like read their little thing and it was like, they own Bloom. And I was like, no, what? That's crazy.
That's so cool.
That's so crazy. So, the owner, would have been in my graduating class had we like not moved.
Sure.
So like, you know, they came to like my seventh grade birthday party, you know,
that's so fun. Just so
like we saw them there and I was like, you know, it's like one of those is like, I do recognize you and I know you're the owner, but I haven't spoken to you since 2001. But like, do I need to like reintroduce myself? But like we chatted for a second and he was like, oh no. Yeah. I see your name on there all the time. And I looked up and I was like, oh, hey, John's here. And I was like, oh, well, hey, what's up? You know,
just glad to be here. What's going on in my favorite restaurant? No
exactly.
Big deal.
Like, basically that's it. So that was fun too. Just saying hi to them. And then, oh, you had to sleep in the next day to the crack of 7 a.m.
Dang. kidding.
I know.
What? Wow, that's amazing. Did you feel so rested?
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like that. It's, you know, we never, most days I set my alarm for like 6 and then the kids are awake by like, you know, 6:01.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a real glorious 1 minute of the day most of the time. But it was a really good day because not only did I have this very quiet morning, which was, so this is funny though, is like most of the days I get up at like 6 and I try and go like drink my coffee at like down in the patio and do like the Wordle and the connections and the strands and the mini, do all my New York Times things.
You got your routine.
I got my routine and yeah. I'm down there and it's always like really quiet outside while I'm doing this. But I realized over the weekend that the reason it's so quiet is because I'm down there at like 6:15. But if you go down there at 7, like the birds are awake, the bees are awake. Like it was, you know, it was very loud. It was like, what? It's not normally like this.
Oh, that's
like,
interesting.
It's not as peaceful.
I said the dang birds and the bees.
Birds, exactly. Like there's all this cawing. There's like bees buzzing right above my head. And I was like, this is like annoying. Like, can't catch a break.
Oh my gosh. I feel like you and nature have not exactly been like very simpatico lately.
Dude, I mean, I got my little sonic emitter things and they might be keeping the deer out, but the rabbits are just like, they're getting me. Like I went downstairs, I was dumping my compost into my bid this morning.
Yeah, as you do. Ask me about my compost.
Ask me about my compost. It's doing great. You know, it's crushing it. It looks like dirt. There's, you know, it's doing good. And I turn around and I just look down and like all of my like caladium, which are these like, if you know, like elephant ear plants,
yeah,
like those, they look like that, except cooler because they're like pink in the middle, like all the veins are pink and it just looks really cool. But they're just gone, just all the giant leaves just gone. They're just like
gone.
Stem. Yeah,
I just saw them last week.
I know, and I was like, this is, it's just like, I just, why? And like, there's even like an emitter right in front of them, so I was like, this. Didn't do anything to stop them. However, I had this thought.
Okay, lay it on me.
Over the weekend, I was like, I can't believe I went all of last year without this being a problem.
Sure,
you know, like I had the garden last year, and it like we never had any issues. You know, there was no deer, there was no rabbits. Like I had the fence up, and I was like, yeah, my fence is clearly impenetrable. It's crushing it.
Yeah, way to go.
Clearly, this year that's not the case.
Ugh.
Not much has changed, and now, and like the other problem is that like. I've got all these other plants now that might be attractive, but the garden itself is still being like infiltrated. I was like, why didn't this happen last year? And I think I may have inadvertently been deterring stuff away because last year, one of the crops I was trying to grow was onions.
Okay.
And onions like smell very bad to rabbits and they're like, don't like them.
Okay.
So like last year I planted a bunch of onions. And that I never really was able to harvest any, like they didn't grow very well underground, but like the leaves were above ground the entire time.
Okay.
Like I always thought like, oh, they're doing great down there. This is going to be awesome. But then they never turned into anything, unfortunately. So I didn't do them again this year, but it's like, is it possible, even though they weren't growing, they were serving this like other purpose of deterring pests?
Oh,
and I'm like, maybe I accidentally stumbled into like a great solution last year without even realizing it, and like even thought it was like a failure. You know?
Are you gonna become like Onion Man?
Well, maybe. I'm thinking like maybe onions are coming back.
Okay,
next year, big time. Because if they're like gonna repel stuff, why not? Even if they don't grow.
But somebody listening right now must be a professional gardener who is like, I've got some tips for you, Jay.
I know.
There's got to be someone out there who can help solve your garden woes.
I know. I feel like I just talk about it way too much. This is the thing. I feel like it consumes so much of my complaints right now. And it's like, it's not that big of a garden. You know?
Yeah, it's not
massive, you know, but it is like a little passion project, obviously.
I do think it's very interesting, especially for you. I think it's been fascinating to see it sort of like unfold as it were, because I do think like a lot of your key interests that like have like stuck with you,
mm-hmm.
they seem like they've been there like forever,
right?
Like since I've known you,
right?
Like a lot of the things that you would probably describe as like your favorite things today, you could have asked 9-year-old you and he would have given the same answers.
A lot of the same answers. Yeah.
And I don't think that gardening is one of those.
Probably not. No.
So this is something that almost feels like it's become like more of like a, like a newfound passion, which is not something that I mean, not that I feel like you've ever got like your doors closed to finding those. I just haven't seen it happen as often. And this is one where it's like, it is really fascinating to see all of your interests like blossom.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
Literally.
And then get eaten by deer.
And then get eaten by deer. Yeah. Or rabbits. Bazooka Gosh. Jack.
Bazooka Jack. Yeah. So there's that.
It was a lot funnier when they were just eating your flowers.
Yeah.
And now that they're eating like all your crops, it's like, well, this is a little bit
of a problem. Yeah. When it was just my sunflowers. Well, actually, I have one sunflower now, which we did have a little fire pit last week, and everyone who came down was like, dude, your sunflower out front is massive.
I know.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you.
And then we proceeded to have like an hour long conversation about compost.
Yes, we did. Me and Mike.
Which I thought was amazing.
I know. I thought it was funny listening to Mike talk about it because like Mike's not even growing anything.
I know.
What are you composting for?
He's just as invested though. It's like he's got like his own like tactics going at the present with no intention of using his compost for anything specific.
Right. It's just sort of like, this is just sort of the appropriate way to dispose of food in the most responsible way.
Yeah.
And like environmentally friendly. So why wouldn't I do it this way?
Right. Right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. It's like because he has a meal prep service. So he cuts like a lot of like vegetables and stuff. So it's like all that stuff needs to go somewhere. It's like better than throwing it away. I may as well compost it.
Yeah. Well then you may as well use the compost.
Yeah. Right. Gotta grow something.
Yeah. Gotta grow something, dude.
You can have some freshly grown tomatoes
exactly
from your backyard that you could put right into your dishes.
That would be honestly probably really amazing.
That would be really good.
Yeah.
I don't know why they taste better when they were grown in your own backyard, but they just simply do.
Yeah, absolutely they do. Yeah, for sure.
It's an improvement.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Boy, howdy, where to begin? I remember graduating college and having aspirations of becoming an entrepreneur. I was brimming with ideas. A kitchen tool that made spiral cut hot dogs, or a phone case that uses a special retractable cables to wrap around any surface for selfies. I had no idea how to make these ideas a reality, and spoilers, I still don't. However, what I have learned through my various other endeavors is how to take products and make them available for purchases online, thanks to Shopify. Shopify is an e-commerce platform that makes designing your webpage, setting up your store, and making your first sales a breeze. But the best part is that after that first sale, Shopify scales with your growth, meaning it's perfect whether you're selling tens, hundreds, or even thousands of products monthly. And I am a data person, and boy does Shopify have data. Want to know how many hot dog spiralizers you sold between May 29th and July 5th? That's peak hot dog season. Boom, data in no time. Also, the answer is zero. I still don't know how to make a hot dog spiralizer, but if I did, I would know exactly how to sell them. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about y'all, but no matter how hard I work, I sometimes still feel like I'm just not doing enough. And life is hectic. There's just simply no doubt about it. Whether you're in school, the early stages of your career, taking a big step romantically, becoming a parent, the list goes on. Each of us has daily stressors that can add up, making it hard to feel like you've ever got time for yourself. And this is when establishing some non-negotiable self-care tactics is more vital than ever. So take the bubble bath, go for a jog, or better yet, pretend to go for a jog and just sit quietly on a park bench for a while. But I gotta tell you, for me, my self-care is therapy. In fact, here at Super Carlin Brothers, we have a no questions asked approval process for time off to take therapy appointments. It's something that we value highly, and we know it makes a difference in the lives of ourselves and our team. For me, therapy has been so vital to juggling my own busy life. While it can sometimes seem frivolous to make time for a hobby when there is so much going on, I've discovered that taking the time actually lifts my mood and makes me more effective everywhere else. And that is something I've learned in therapy. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/poppop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Fiji Water. Y'all, I have been having one heck of an amazing summer. Lake days on the boat have been some of the best of my life, and on those hot days, I love to keep Fiji Water on hand to keep my family and myself hydrated and refreshed. It really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable, ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7, and because I'm a complete aquarium nerd, I tested this with some of my pH test kits and can tell you, confirmed. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water. So get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. Okay, so what else do we have going on in this week's show notes? You got anything?
Well, let's see. We also, mom returned the kids Sunday morning.
Oh, okay. But yeah, only... I randomly pressed one of the buttons. It sounds like a really squeaky wheel.
Are those crickets?
Crickets? Maybe it's crickets. Maybe that's the intention. What I heard was like a hamster wheel.
Oh,
you know, yeah, like spinning. Kind of spinning.
Nice. Yeah. Good random use of the button.
Thank you. Hold on. I'll try one more.
Okay. Woo! That's right. The kids came home.
There we go. Oh, let's go. I like the buttons.
The buttons are fun. They're very good. But it was only for like an hour or so because they basically got him home, put him in some swim trunks, and then we headed right to the lake where we got in the boat with you.
Yeah.
Super fun day, which I'll say the highlight, and it almost felt like we almost didn't even do it. We were like driving back towards the dock, and you, I think, wanted to jump off one of the big rocks.
The big rocks, yeah.
So we pulled over.
It's like tradish.
It is, yeah. Got to stop, and then the kids saw you do it, and they were like, "I want to jump off the rocks." So then they got in, and then it turned into like a whole. We were there for like an hour or something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Just like bobbing around in the water, watching the kids jump.
Good times. So last time we did this, Nick and Nate, they went up to, about halfway up. Halfway up or so, and just went full send, just jumped right off, no hesitation. I think Nate had like a big belly flop last time, and I was like, oh no. And I was afraid that was going to deter them, but I was wrong, because this time they went up, they jumped off like once to get like warmed up, and then immediately went about like, so there's the top of the rock.
The top of the rock is maybe like 20 to 25 feet.
20 to 25 feet. You got to like go off like off into the woods a little bit and walk up like a tiny little trail to get there. And then you jump off. Everywhere else on the rock, you just sort of climb right out of the water onto the rock and climb up the rock itself and then jump from there.
Right.
Right. So they went to the highest spot on the rock you can go from this vantage point.
Yeah. I would say like at least 12 to 14 feet.
Yeah. That seems about right. Yes. Yeah. My thought as they were walking up there was like, they're going to get up there, look and be like, oh, that's too high. Never mind. Let me back down.
My thoughts exactly. Yeah. As well.
I was like, let them, hey, if they feel brave enough, let them walk up there and just like see what it looks like. You know, I don't think they're going to do it. Or if they do, you know, like I was certainly not going to pressure them to like jump off like the high spot or anything.
Right. Yes.
But boy, was I wrong, because Nick walks right up there. I think considered it for about, I don't know, 1 second and just went full send.
I know.
I could not believe it.
It was like one of those, like I was standing right next to him and I was just like,
okay.
I think I panicked in the moment because I was like, do I jump in after her? Like what's the best, how should I help?
Yeah.
Is he going to be okay? Am I going to be in trouble with the parents? Because I was standing right there.
Right? Like, just like, whoops.
Yeah.
There he goes.
I know. Yeah. But he did amazing.
I mean, he did amazing. I was like so proud of him for just like the fearlessness of it all. But he jumped and boy, if Nate belly flopped last time, Nick belly flopped hard this time.
From a height.
From higher. Yeah. I felt like he hit the ground just splat. not ground, the water. Sorry, not the ground, the water. And I mean, he came under, and I think all of us were like just staring at him, like, that was amazing. And he comes up, and of course, it like hurt.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like, you know, kind of in tears, but it was sort of funny because you could tell he was just sort of like, ah, that hurt. Like, oh no. And he's like, you know, wanting to be held. And everyone's just sort of like, Nick, that was awesome. You know, good job. So I thought, like, oh no, he's like ruined it for himself. And, you know, he wanted to go, you know, cuddle with mommy for a few minutes. But after a couple minutes, he was right back out there. And then he's just like, yeah. And then he's like stared up. He's like, I'm not afraid. I want to go to the big one. I'm going to go to the very top. And I was like, I don't know about that.
He's like, I know.
Like,
that feels dangerous. That,
like, yeah, let's make sure you can land on your feet before we go full send from the big one.
Yes.
Just seems like, wait. I was like, I don't know if I could still call that good parenting if I let you go up there.
Right. No, I know.
Yeah.
But it is very funny because, like, you know, I always mark cliff jumping as like one of these activities that I did growing up. This is almost like that 98% thing that you were just talking about.
Yeah.
But like I think when dad first took us, I was maybe like 10 or 11 years old or something like that. And I remember jumping from approximately the same distance that your boys did. And, you know, it was like, I had to like work up the courage, but it was this like transformative kind of moment for me in life where it was like, okay, like some things are scary, but not inherently dangerous. And therefore, like, you know, it can be like very like confidence building to realize that you can do this. And, you know, I think for my whole life, I've always sort of looked back on those memories, and it's what I hoped, you know, having the boat and doing these types of things would provide for our kids in turn. But there is a piece of me that's almost like they're doing it at age 4.
I know.
You know, and like, I'm like, I was like 10 and it took me a half hour.
I know. I'm like, are we making them too confident?
Yes. Yeah, right.
Are we making them risky?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so there's that. But he did go up to the exact same spot where he belly flopped from earlier. Eventually, like, he got completely over it and it was just like, land on your feet. That was all of the coach. I'm like, jump, land on feet. And he did it and he landed on his feet and it was great. And so that was fun.
Yeah. They're getting there.
And I was like, can't believe you guys did that. That was awesome. It's well done, boys.
Yes. It's been really cool. And I mean, it makes me so happy just to like see them out there just getting after.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I will say though, then Nick in particular, who took the belly flop, we got home at about 4 and he fell asleep in the car and he slept till 6 this morning.
Goodness so gracious.
I think he was in like full whatever. It was a lot of stimulation or recovery mode or something, but he was tired.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's a day full of just like everything coming at you. So
a lot
of
sun and
they did it. Yep. On the flip side, you may have noticed that Alice and Addison have been completely absent from this particular story, and that is because they have ventured off to a like small family reunion with like a piece of Alice's family at the beach for a few days, which has meant that I have been like home by myself or will be home by myself for a few days, which one I am tremendously bad at. Like I'm like,
what is Ben gonna do? I'm so curious.
I am so bad at being alone. It's like, it's not even funny. So like literally last night on the couch, what I started doing, like when I was like feeding Addie a bottle, like either like whether it was in the middle of the night or just like, you know, throughout the day and stuff when she was like a baby, I would watch the show Bad Batch.
Yeah.
And for reference sake, I have made it about halfway through season 2. So it's like, I was watching a fair bit back then and burned through, you know, like the whole first season. And then in the meantime, I just watch it like whenever like Alice happens to not be there, which is a very rare occasion.
Yeah.
So she's never watched it with me at all. Like not even like a single frame of show. Yeah. And so like last night I'm sitting on the couch by myself and I'm like watching the show. And at one point in time, I like just start talking to Alice thinking she's sitting right next to me. And I was like, I like turned my head to like look at her and she wasn't there. And I was like, that was if anybody had seen that happen just now, they would have just been like, whoa, this guy's crazy. Because I mean, it was genuinely like talking to like an imaginary friend, but she wasn't there.
Yeah.
But she wasn't there. So anyway, but my game plan though. So yesterday I was quite busy because I had plenty to do with like all of like the boat related activities and then getting home. And then I was just personally exhausted as well, 'cause it was a big, busy day out on the water. But like now I've been like in huge, like basement, like I can't even call it renovation mode, but like organization mode.
Yeah.
Because this has been something that's been on my show notes for a little while, is that like, I think that I am someone who very much likes being organized. but I am very bad at like realizing it or implementing it.
Right.
So it's like that phrase, like, you know, every thing has a place in every, what is it? What? Now I'm completely like whiffing on it.
I know like everything has a place.
Yeah. Everything has a place and everything is in its place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that.
That. Yeah.
Nailed it. Hold on.
Yes.
You okay.
Nailed it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. This is working out well. I love the soundboard now all of a sudden. Okay. Anyway. So, one of the big things that I've been trying to do is like my basement is full of like irregularly shaped objects. So I have like my bikes, I have like weightlifting equipment, I have like the like glamping tent that we used for like GoFest for like our coffee booth once upon a time, which is this huge like 20-foot wide tent. We've got like all the inflatable tubes and stuff for the boat. We've got a bunch of like, you know, like boat related toys. We have like our skis and snowboard, and I mean, just everything is oddly shaped, which means everything is very difficult to like put anywhere. And most of it just kind of gets like brought down there and like left.
Right.
Like,
the other one is put it in the corner. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it in the corner. And it's sort of like, you know, that'll be annoying 7 months from now when we're going skiing and I have to pull all the paddles off of my skis.
Right.
You know, my snowboard. And so I've been trying to go through and like clear house on a bunch of things. So I've done a couple of missions that I'm not usually that good at. One of them is like just putting a whole bunch of stuff next to like in the Goodwill pile.
Yeah.
And then putting it in my car and then actually taking it to Goodwill.
So you've been to Goodwill.
I've gone to Goodwill.
Wow.
I put the stuff in a pile. I put it in my car and I went the same day.
Man, how big a pile are we talking?
I mean, like my truck bed.
Oh, you know? Wow.
Like, so pretty big.
Like huge.
Like huge. Yeah.
Man,
like,
that's
like
a ton of space.
Yeah, plenty of stuff. I know. Yeah. It's been great. So I've been very, very pleased about that. But then the other thing I was doing is I had like a whole bunch of like lumber that I've purchased for like a variety of different projects throughout the years that I've never like ultimately ended up using.
Yeah.
So there was this big challenge in the back of my head to be like, okay, let me see what I can, like, I want to build like storage shelves and such by just using equipment that I have here on hand.
Yeah.
And so like that's the goal. It's like, then you're not really like spending any money, but you're also like getting stuff out of the way, and in the process of getting it out of the way, you're making it like more functional. So then I'm going through, and this is like one of those like life achievements that like is really small but like was still kind of important to me. But there is the way that I was mounting all my shelves was I was like screwing boards into the wall and then like laying sheets of plywood on top of like the mounts that I had then made.
Sure.
In order to screw them into the wall though, I have to like screw them into concrete.
Okay.
Which is like, you know, just, you can't, it's not like the same as like drilling into wood. You have to like, you know, do things.
Right.
And there's a type of screw called Tapcon screws, which are like the big beefy, like blue screws that like are designed specifically for being like screwed into concrete. I'm normally terrible at it, but dude, I totally nailed it.
Totally. Or screwed it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Except it seems like
a bad thing. Yeah. You did a good job.
I did a good job. Right. I screwed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Woo. Yeah. So anyway, that was like last weekend that I did like a big chunk of that like progress. So now I've been like addicted to this feeling.
And oh,
I'm
man.
Like, I'm like, I learned a new skill. Now I want to do it everywhere. Let's so I'm like,
it.
I'm like, are you a brick wall? Because I'm about to mount stuff to you.
Yeah.
That sounded like a really bad pickup line. Sorry, mom. yeah, my bad. But yeah, so anyway, that's like my big quest is that it's like I basically have like tonight after work and tomorrow after work to go home and just like change everything.
Okay.
And my goal is to do as much of this as I possibly can without telling Alice, so that when she comes home, she's like, "What?
Whoa!"
I know. I want her to be shocked.
Yeah. The element of surprise.
More exactly. Like it. Yeah. 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 Although now I'm probably gonna have to buy more lumber because I think I'm running out.
Yeah. Okay, well, so but at least you like have a purpose for it.
I do have a purpose for it. Now. Yes, it will. Yes,
as and long you have as functional shelves,
and then I'll have functional shelves
that are organizing your things.
I know.
That sounds fantastic. Fantastic. I've been considering a project of not like I'm like trying to reuse a bunch of lumber, but like all of my garage organization at the moment is based upon like the stuff that was left there when the people who lived there before me were there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like they had some sort of weird helter-skelter like tabletop shelves and then like a random countertop that sort of connected the two, but it's just sort of like hanging on the wall.
Okay.
Like it's very like it sort of works.
They use Tapcon screws?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I don't, it's not concrete walls, so okay. Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. Yeah. That's too bad.
I know, but like it's like I've made do with it so far, but it's the sort of thing where it's like, I feel like if the old orders came back, they'd be like, hey, that's from us. And I'd be like, yeah, no, I got to get rid of that. No, can't have that.
No,
I don't want your stuff here.
God, wouldn't it be embarrassing if the previous owners of this house showed up and realized they haven't changed anything?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
Embarrassing.
Anyway, so what like I want to do is, yes, I want like what me and Beth have the project like called the Garage Mahal.
The Garage Mahal.
That's
okay.
What we're trying to do.
I love it.
Just I want tons of shelves, big cabinets and stuff mounted to the wall, organized, boom, done. So because right now, yeah, same thing. It's just sort of like there's just stuff everywhere. And like this sort of like all like the big kids' toys kind of end up eventually.
Okay.
It's like, oh yeah, we got the Power Wheels in here, and it's like it's big.
You need like a little garage for it.
Yeah, something like that.
Like a little porthole.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be amazing.
So maybe I should finish building my shelves and then come over and we can build some shelves at your house.
Let's do it. I mean, I'm totally down.
Okay, I like the sound of this.
Yeah.
We're going places. Good.
Yeah.
So let us go. We can start our brand new podcast, Jay and Ben Build Things.
Jay and Ben Build Things.
It's a great podcast. Just a bunch of like saw sounds.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe sounds like this.
People just laughing at our efforts. That was a great one, guys. Oh, that almost worked. Woo. There it is.
Is it still going?
It's a long laugh. Yeah.
It was a long laugh.
Yeah, we really messed up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Really, we really put our arm in the butter. Elbow in the butter.
Yep. Merely 5 minutes into dinner, and I already have my elbow in the butter.
Good name of the wind reference.
Good name of the wind reference.
Just for those bingo players out there. Okay, what else do we got, Jay?
Let's see.
Or transition?
Transition!
Okay, Jay, I have a question for you. And I'm actually kind of curious, because is there anything stranger than not knowing the way that other people think? Like how jarring do you think it would be to go inside of the mind of somebody else and get to like have like your consciousness sort of like parked like deep in the back, so you still know you're you, but like observe the like priorities, thoughts, behaviors, like methods of thinking that somebody else has established?
I think it would be probably very jarring, which because like to yourself, the way you think feels like it makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Probably, because otherwise, why would you think that way?
Right. But like, I suspect that as we are growing, we are building like shortcuts in our mind to like commonly encountered like problems and situations, and like you have like your coping mechanisms for various like aspects of like how your own brain works or like manages insecurities or whatever is going on, and like, you know, it's so you probably have like allowed bits of information to float to the top, and those are like the primary like levers that sort of like drive the way you think about the world.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit, which is to not necessarily point it to any particular methodology, just every single person's experience is inherently different.
Of course.
And they've had different types of like day-to-day problems and stuff like that. So I always think it'd be fascinating to like pop in there and just be like, how do you think? What do you think about? Like, what is like the fear that presses on you all the time? And I'm sure lots of them would be similar, but I could even imagine like, even if you fear like, you know, like money can be like a ongoing concern, I'm sure, for lots and lots and lots of people.
Right.
It's something we all have to interact with in some way, shape or form, but it'd be interesting to see the different ways in which that money like might like resonate or vibrate inside of somebody's mind. It's like,
right,
we're all concerned about money, but maybe we're concerned about it in completely different ways.
Right. Yeah. Like different, you know, sums of money might amount to what feels like safety to other people. Or some people might just be like, oh, I got this much money, I'm immediately going to go spend it because that's what it's for. Whereas you might get it and just be like, I'm just, you know, oh, I've got it, but I'm afraid of losing it or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it'd just be like very interesting. So one of the things I think I was looking at the other day was a little bit like, how often are you thinking about the future? And it was something that for me, when I was posed the particular question, I was like, despite the amount that I know that like I can like ruminate on problems from the past, I think that I spend most of my time thinking about what's going to come.
Okay.
Like next, like further down the line. Like today's problem was today's problem. Like whatever, like, you know, we got that solved, but like more than anything, I'm thinking about like, you know, way, way down in the future. So my question for you is, how often are you thinking about the future in one capacity or another?
I mean, I guess it's not like when you phrase it like that, it's not like I'm like, okay, future. Like, it's not like the bold underlined, 16-point font on my brain or something.
Sure.
Like when
sure.
I start thinking about things that are about to happen or need to happen soon or whatever. Like, but like, I don't know. Like, you know, on when I get to work in the morning, I will often try and think like, what's everything we need to do today, or what's everything we need to do this week?
Okay.
Then a lot of times I feel like I'm very much more like, I feel like I'm frequently focused on the present, like more often than not. Like it is like after I've considered the future, like, if I think like, okay, here's everything we need to do today. Like once I've sort of like thought about that, then every moment I'm not doing it is like, makes me like very anxious.
Okay. Okay. So you're very much like, okay, like here's like the lineup for today. Gotta like tick each of those boxes. And basically if like from this point going forward, I'm pretty much thinking about like the day.
Yeah. Like doing these things. And so when I'm then doing things that are not accomplishing those things, it makes me feel like antsy or just sort of like it probably makes me what I feel like, I don't know, like annoying to be around, because like I probably seem really disinterested in other things suddenly, because I'm usually just like trying to like extricate myself from the situation so that I can go do what I actually want to do. And most of then what my focus is like, I want to get all the things done because that will create a future where I don't have to do things.
Okay. Okay.
Which is like, my real goal.
Like yeah. It's like, I need to be so productive so I don't ever have to be productive again.
Exactly.
But like, is that like an arbitrary thing in the future? Like just sort of like someday that will be true? Or like, do you think like, well, if I can get it all done today, then tomorrow I don't have to do anything.
Well, I think it probably works on that line of thinking is in effect on like the things I have to do today and things I have to do this week, and things that I have to do like for the next like year or something, or for like, you know, for the rest of, you know, before retirement or something.
Sure.
You know, yeah. It's like, it's always sort of in effect, but like at different scales at the same time. So yes, like ideally it's like, I have to do all the things I have to do today because eventually I want to get to the point where I don't have to do anything today, and that will feel like I can relax, and I want to make sure all the things that need to be done for the week are done, because then I'll be able to relax for the weekend. And I want to make sure that I've set myself up enough during my entire working career that I can retire, you know?
Right. Right. Well, so it's interesting too, because I think that like a lot of times for me, what can happen is it's like, sometimes I almost think I'm like the exact opposite. Like usually for me, it's sort of like, okay, like I know I have like my things to do today. Like me will get those done because I will run into them all very naturally. Mm-hmm. Like I know that like, you know, we'll get in this morning, we'll do this document, we'll be prepped for that, we'll have a discussion about this, and then we'll record the pop. Like I know that these things will transpire in such a way that like will get me to the places I need to go because they feel so baked in. Mm-hmm. Of course, a piece of that could be the partnership that you and I have.
I was just thinking of that. I was like, I wonder if any of that is like, you don't need to worry about it because you can like rely on me to like worry, to like to work on it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. To be like, okay, it's like that will happen because there is somebody here who makes it happen, who like will force it into existence.
Right.
But then on the flip side, yeah, it's like I oftentimes will be like on vacation and I'll be like, we should pull up Airbnbs.
Right.
You know, yeah. like let's find some like where should we go?
Yeah.
It's like you're somewhere. You are currently there.
Right.
You know? But like that is usually, I think, like the way that like my brain, I think, is like working in the background a lot, is that it's sort of like, okay, I want to be sure that like I've got like these lines in the water so that like as like each thing unfolds, I will have like already toss the bait out there so something can be biting by the time I get to it.
Right.
And that's usually like the way that like I like ensure my like future enjoyment. It's the anticipation. It's like, I think I know that what I really enjoy more than anything is anticipating something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I want to have as many things to anticipate as humanly possible.
Right.
So like, I think I would go nuts if I like reached my last like trip or vacation or whatever. And it was sort of like, now there's, and like, if there was nothing but blank space ahead of me,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Like, this is like, I have to fix that. Like I need to have something on the books.
Right.
I think that would be like the moment where I'd be like,
right, right. I feel like I'm kind of always waiting for the moment when I have nothing on the books.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Like you would almost rather be like, boom, clean.
Clean. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think so. Not because I would then just like never do anything, but because then I could like do something.
<It's>
you
like,
know what I mean?
Right, right. Like,
but as long as there's something on the books, I can't do anything because I'm already doing that thing.
Right, right, you know what right. I mean? Now, that is fascinating.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. So it's like, because we're going on a trip in January, you can't think about the trip you'll be going on in June.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like I want nothing on the horizon so I can put something on the horizon.
Right, right.
Right.
Well, so I heard it described really like kind of like an interesting way that I liked was it's like when you're envisioning the future. So I think I described this in like a couple episodes ago about like our week at the lake, where I was almost like, this was all of the thoughts coming together in like one situation. I can like see all of those lines,
right,
like having like culminated in this singular moment where it's like, these people are here, those people are playing, these toys are in the water, that boat is, you know, it's all of the things I wanted to have in one place are all in one place.
Right.
And like all of that planning came to fruition. And so it's like the way somebody described it was almost like an architect will like draw a picture and then make a model before they build the building. And I think a lot of times that's the way like my brain is like spinning on the future.
Okay.
Is that it's sort of like, I am trying to like build the house so I know what I want it to look like when I get there.
Okay.
You know? And so it's like, I'm like trying to figure out like, what is everything? What does that look like? What do all of the, like the little bits and bobs and pieces and who's there and what are they doing and what are our plans? And like, you know, how do we ensure like lack of boredom and stuff like that? Like, mm-hmm. that's all the stuff that's constantly like skittling through my brain.
Just skittling around, huh?
It's just skittling up there.
Yep.
Keeps it very busy.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
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 No doubt.
But then on the flip side, yeah, then that's where I was like, but this is the problem is I think it's good to think about the future a lot, but then I'm bad at living in the moment.
Sure.
You know, so then it's like, then you're there and you're like, ah, I did it. How do I do it again?
Right. Yeah.
What will the next one look like?
Right.
How do we ensure more of these times
more
to
of
come?
These types of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is tricky because it's like, I feel like in my, it's like, it's weird hearing you talk about it because like, I feel like you're right. Like maybe this lake, like this past trip where I was like, you know, we had the boat and we had the house and all the kids were there and we had all the toys and it was like everyone can just like do their thing and like this is like maybe what like the goal or whatever has been.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But I feel like at the same time, it's almost like you've been trying to make this exact thing happen like since you were like 25 or something.
Yeah, well, yes. Know? Yeah.
Right.
Yes, completely.
Right. But like, would you say like you've been trying to like build up to it happening or trying to have it happen every single year?
Well, I think that there's like, I think that in my mind, I like, so going back to, cause you're right. Like, I think even earlier than being 25. So I'm 34 now, I'll be 35 this year. But like from the time I graduated college, basically I was like on Craigslist looking at like boats. And at that point in time, it was like any old port in a storm, like anything will do. If it floats and goes, then we can take it out in the middle of the water. We can jump off of it. We can take it fun places. That will be sufficient.
Right.
You know, and then I think like as time has gone on, like there's things like safety and availability and reliability and all those types of things that like have probably elevated and lobbed out into the future how long it may be before this finally comes to fruition.
Right.
Like before you can finally get to see like all of your, like your hard work come together. So what was your original question? Was like, was I hoping that this could happen like every year?
Right.
Between then and now? The answer to that question is definitely yes.
Right.
Like, you know, I think the whole time I wanted it to happen sooner, but it was this otherwise like persistent like desire and vision, and like I think I just kept thinking like, well, if I can just be patient enough, then like I will finally get to the point where it's all there.
Right.
And you know, so it's like you keep thinking about it, you keep aligning things, you make or don't make decisions on the basis of whether or not it will like compromise this eventual vision.
Right.
And you like you do sort of like make big scale decisions on the basis of this end goal.
Right.
And so that, yeah, I think it's something that like, I don't think I knew how long it would take to the tune of in 12, 13 years.
Right.
Like
yeah.
to finally like get there. Mm-hmm. And so along the way, I think that there were like stop gaps where it's been like, okay, like I can, you know, use our family's small cabin in Vermont, which provides me some semblance.
Right. Like I can get my friends and people up there, and there will be a boat and we will be next to water and we can do things. But also that will then mean that like, it's not my boat and it's a 12-hour drive and no one's sleeping in comfortable places. And
yes.
Yeah.
It's like compromises galore along the way. I mean,
right.
Not to say that it's not like one of my absolute favorite places in the world to be, but everything you just said is also true. So
right.
It's like then the scarcity of the availability of everything is also so prevalent.
Right.
It's like I get to be here. So it's a 7-day vacation, you know, that you might use to go up there. You have to use one day on each end for a 12-hour drive.
Right.
Which condenses it to a five-day vacation. Yeah. Of which the last day you will need to break things down. And on the first day, you will need to set things up. And then in between, you're dealing with very unwieldy weather.
Right. Yeah. You just hope it lands your way.
Precisely. So right. It's like, you know, I put all this like hope and want and desire and energy into achieving these ends. But then like once you're finally up there, it's like you are at the mercy of things you don't have control over.
Right.
And that is like the moment where it's like, dude, the perfect day here is like it's a 12 out of 10 day.
Right.
It is as good. I mean, it is better than it can be.
Yeah.
Because it's like finding the rare holographic card inside of the pack. And it's the one you needed and wanted and is, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's like you can't get it just by like anything. It require like, you know, money doesn't buy the perfect day.
Right.
You know, it's like it's everything has to culminate.
Everything has to like come together. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think for years and years, like that's been like sort of like the middle ground that I've been willing to stand on that like permits me the closest that I can get.
Right.
Without making some type of like other huge decision. Because even inside of the rest of that scope, there was a huge period of time where I did drive a truck, but it wasn't like a truck strong enough to like pull what I would need. So then at some point in time, before you could ever enact the next step of the vision, is you have to have a big enough vehicle to do that. And you have to find a way to afford the big enough vehicle that can do that. And that was its own set of challenges. And like once you did that, you had to wait for that to be paid off so that you can then make the next step
right.
in the equation, you know? So it's just like the leaps. It's like, oh my gosh.
I know. It's like so interesting because like it, like to hear the way in which you've been like prepping for this sort of situation for like years and years. Cause like in my mind, I'm like, you know, like it, the way like my brain would go through these kind of like situations or this kind of like end goal would be like, it's not really achievable for like another 10 years or something. Like we're not going to like, you know, maybe financially be in a place where we could do something like that, like right away. So like, it's not even worth like working towards or whatever.
Sure.
You know, not like working towards is the right word, but it's just sort of like, you know, like you're like there's no use like building up in my mind this like reality that can't exist for like another like 10 years or something. But And then, like, you know, from like where I'm at, it's like, sure enough, 10 years or later, and it's like, this, see, now we're here. This is exactly why I didn't worry about it, because here we are, you know?
Right.
Right. But then in the meantime, it's like, but you were worrying about it and made like a bunch of decisions to like try and get there and stuff. So it's like, I don't know. I'm like, you know, it's not like I'm like trying to like come to terms with the way I think about it or like, you know, like what, I don't know. It's sort of like the same thing. It's like what I was saying earlier. It's like, there's always something on the horizon, which makes it like difficult for me to like think past the horizon, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, in the thing is that it's like we've probably stepped away from your strengths into something that could be mine, but that's not to say that the shoe doesn't go the other way as well. I don't even think that's the right way to use that phrase.
I know what you mean.
But like, yeah. But like in highly focused situations, I'm terrible. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like my, it's like, I can't think about one thing at a time. I have to be like,
right,
like multiple issues at once. So it's like in that particular regard, like a lot of times, like I'll like watch you zero in on something. I'm like, man, I wish I could do that.
Right.
Like, I wish I could be good at this. And so that's like a big struggle. So, I mean, on some level, it's probably a huge piece of why you and me as a partnership work very well.
Yeah.
Because one person is thinking like way down the line and the other person is highly focused on the now.
Yeah.
So
I think it ends up working out pretty good. Like we complement each other very well in those ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't have the same strengths.
Yeah, that's true. I think you're right. But that's okay. Because we have each other. Exactly.
High five.
Boom.
Here we go. Here, ready?
Yeah. Oh, man. That was the wrong button.
Let me try
another
one.
Yay! All right.
We did it. Go. Okay. Hopefully we will do our best to not abuse the soundboard. But when I discovered that it worked today, it was like one of those things where it was like, well, there's no way in the world I'm not using that as much.
It's kind of unbelievable because they're like the buttons you're pressing, they're just like bright, colorful things. And it's never been like, I wonder what happens if I push them.
I know. What about this one? Hang on, one more.
Oh, wow. Okay, now we're just going. This is like a long one.
So, thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode where we talked about things.
Still going.
I know. Yeah, I thought it was
going to
end.
It feels like this is like a lead-in kind of thing or like an exit sort of thing. Like, welcome to the show.
I wonder how many podcasts use this exact intro because it's like just all you have to do is just press the thing. Yeah.
They're like, listen to this. Guys, ready? Here we go.
We're just going now. Yeah.
And we're going.
It feels like good like closing time music though as well.
It does.
Like we can just be like, all right, guys, if you have any feedback, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. Or if you want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Be sure to check out that after the final pop tier where there's loads of exciting additional content. You get access to a full back catalog, patreon.com/popcornculture. Man, I can't believe it's still going.
It is still going. We hope to see you next time. Pop, pop! That was really long.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin. Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations. So if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you. And we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com.